Live from the Iowa caucuses, it's the Rokan Show with the updated stats and stories in the first step to choosing the next leader of the greatest nation on earth. Right now on 720 WGN.
That seems a little overdone. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that the next leader of the United States of America, the greatest nation on earth, is actually going to be found here in Iowa. And I'm sort of praying it isn't, having been through some of these people already. Right now, we're joined by a man who was the former head of the Republican Party here in the state of Iowa. And Matt Strawn is the guy that you're, he's a different guy. Matt is a, Matt unfortunately had the experience last cycle in 2012 of encountering very much firsthand how screwed up the system can be.
It was a messy year.
Yes, when you guys announced that it was Mitt Romney who had won, and when in fact it was Rick Santorum, who, by the way, was at the bar down the street today, the coffee bar, not an alcohol bar. I don't think he goes to the alcohol bars. And he was at the coffee bar. He's still talking about that. You know,
sure.
Like, this is going to be his surprise. He's still going to win this thing.
But he's flying out tonight. So, I mean, what a difference 4 years makes.
Yeah.
Well, he's got that going for him.
Yeah, which is nice. So let's talk a little bit about the process here in Iowa, because it's different than anywhere else in the nation, essentially. I mean, there's other caucus states, but Iowa is it's the grand champion of this, right? Why is it? And now that I've seen it firsthand, I mean, I get it. But why has Iowa insisted on maintaining this system? Because it seems like, you know, it's pretty cumbersome, right?
Well, it is. And that's, you know, we'll see if Donald Trump can rewrite a new way of actually succeeding in the Iowa caucuses. But traditionally, it's a system that demands candidates be here. We don't care what your title or privilege is. There's going to be an Iowan that's going to be in a barn or a convenience store or a coffee shop that's going to hit you right between the eyes with a question that you have to answer with about 50 media cameras around you. And that's kind of the calling card of the Iowa caucuses, that we're going to vet these candidates. Our job is not to pick the winner. Our job is to start winnowing the field, actually sizing them up up close and personal.
And it is up close and personal. And it is amazing to me because, you know, you can't walk out of this building and not trip over a candidate.
So true.
I mean, it's amazing. And they're walking around pretty much. I mean, you know, as we're talking about Santorum, and again, Santorum isn't really, you know, doing anything in the polls. He's just walking around in a coffee house.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was just over at Drake University a couple hours ago talking to a group of students, and I asked them to start. I said, okay, well, how many candidates have you had a chance to meet? And they started laughing. And I said, let me rephrase that. Which candidates have you not met?
Well, Trump is really the only one who's not touching people, right? He's the only one who's not going into the crowds because he's got that thing, too. He's like, he doesn't want to touch people. He's got, you know, he's
a hygiene thing.
He's a Purell guy, yeah.
Yeah, no, well, I'm looking for it right now. You know, keep your hands to yourself up here. You know, that's how we do things in Des Moines.
Yeah, but
don't worry. That's how Roe does it, too.
Chicago, too.
Don't worry.
But no, that's exactly right. I think I can probably count on both hands how many times an Iowan has had a chance to actually ask Donald Trump a question. And that is the huge question mark going into tonight is, do those people show up that are more casual observers of politics, people that aren't traditional caucus goers? Mm. You look at Ted Cruz's support. Those are folks that caucus every 4 years like it's their job. Trump, they're still trying to explain to them where your caucus is, how you caucus. I was at a Trump event a couple weeks ago, and literally part of the pre-program was his state chairwoman saying, if you can write T-R-U-M-P on a blank slip of paper, you have caucused. So they're trying to literally
make it down to its basic level.
Yeah. So when the Republicans go to their caucus sites, it's different than what the Democrats do. But they go and they mingle for a while first, right? And then they call the vote, and then everybody writes it down and puts it in a shoebox or whatever.
Yeah, we've got some speeches first. So when the meeting gets called to order after everybody's mingling, each campaign has the opportunity to have one person stand up and make the pitch. And that is replicating itself 1,681 times around the state.
1,681 caucus sites.
Yep, those are 1,681 caucus sites where when you hear about the importance of an organization, that's where it really comes in.
Who's, is that for Republicans or total?
That's for Republicans.
Wow.
Yep, both parties have one.
But there's so many Republicans running, so it makes for a lengthy caucus process.
And that's exactly right. And the well-organized campaigns are the ones that will have somebody stand up. And not just somebody. You want that guy in town that's been selling families insurance, you know, for two generations. You want the guy that has the equipment dealership in town. You want the pastor at the church. So it's just as important as who is speaking on your behalf as opposed to what they're saying.
And these candidates have to go out and get those people because those are the points of light that are going to be in those rooms for them.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's where Ted Cruz, he has 99 county chairs that are doing that and have been doing that all year. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, we really don't know. what type of organization he has. These are folks that, you know, are being educated, many, to register tonight as Republicans for the first time to compete. So there's a huge Trump-sized question mark over this entire turnout.
Because of that, does Cruz have the most to lose today, do you think, if he doesn't show up as well?
Yeah, and I do. And that's because Iowa has, you know, kind of historically chosen the more socially conservative candidate, Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, and somebody that fits that profile like Ted Cruz. If he's not successful, the question is, well, if he can't win in Iowa, where can he?
Interesting.
Yes, that's an excellent question. And because he spent so much time here, he's been here 14 or 15 months, right? And he's got
organized.
This ground game.
Exactly.
And he spent money on the people on their feet here as opposed to the air war. And there's plenty of air war here. By the way, you know, can I tell you what my favorite commercial is so far? Because this
what
is the
is
best
it?
Part of being here, is turning on the TV.
Yes.
And I wasn't doing particularly well last night, thanks to Pat Brady, but because he kicks. But the
yeah, budget's that tight at WGA Radio. You guys had to share a room.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's really, he's not a good snuggler. Anyway, the point is that I'm watching the TV last night, and there were so many commercials, right? It's just, it's great to see all of this, and it's great for the local economy here, too, right, the media economy. But the best commercial is Bernie Sanders. He has he's got Simon & Garfunkel America, and it is a beautifully shot cinematic. There's no talking in it. Mm-hmm. It's just a song, and it's Bernie. You know, basically, it's like Bernie stock, right? He's just out there, you know, like in a field with all these hippies, and it's like, there's something, again, he is the second least likely president of the United States. Of these people.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, the most optimistic ads I've seen all cycle are from the socialist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah.
Right.
Great point.
Now, there have been some bad. He has a PAC, right, that has been beating the crap out of Hillary, too, right?
Yeah,
she was complaining about that.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at what's fueling both the Trump rise on the Republican side and the Sanders rise on the left. I mean, there's, yeah. Quite frankly, there are two constituencies that think they're getting screwed by the system, by political elites, by Wall Street elites, by the media class. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more that unites them. Now, their solutions, I think, could not probably be more diametrically opposed. But think about what Sanders and Trump are doing, though. They're both saying, I will change it without any thought of, you actually have to get it through a legislature. You have to,
right.
You know, and it's...
Well, they're both socialists. They're both left-wing strongmen, as it turns out,
right.
Just in different clothing. except Trump's wearing a Trump tie in a blue suit. And
he has a plane.
And he has a plane,
mm-hmm.
Right? But all the best strongmen have their own planes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if for Hillary. And last night, you know, we were at her rally here at a high school, and Bill was out there. And this is you know, full court press, right? Because you had the former president of the United States, daughters there, the grandbaby, the pregnant daughter with twins is there, and she's showing, and the one grandchild back sleeping. They're tweeting out pictures of a sleeping baby in a hotel room. Thank God that baby didn't keep me up last night. That's all I'm going to say. I'd have been up there knocking on their door, you know.
As opposed to Brady keeping you up all
night. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure which is worse.
It's a very cold feet, too. So anyway, the point is that what we have here is a strange moment for her, because this just proves that there's something as a candidate. She's got a very impressive resume.
Absolutely.
Obviously a brilliant person.
Exceptionally well qualified.
In a lot of ways. I think a lot of people there are a lot of people who look at Hillary Clinton, though, and wonder. I mean, the people obviously are not going to like her politics, but the people are going to look at her personally, if you put all the politics aside, and they're going to look at her, and they still can't fully process what happened with Bill and during the Monica Lewinsky thing, and is there really forgiveness, a lot of people think she's an opportunist. Because she just stuck with, you know, because this is all about power. She became senator, then Secretary of State, and you know, now should be a front runner. Should have been a front runner in 2008.
Well, and that's what's amazing. When you look at the lessons learned from 2008, technically, when it comes to organization and how you build out a campaign, she has learned from 2008. They have built an incredible organization here. So it begs the question, what has changed? Well, one thing that has changed is the environment, but one thing that hasn't changed also is the candidate. And her ability to be a successful retail candidate, to be relatable to people, that's been a challenge for her here. And especially when, you know, people think they're getting screwed by the elites in this country.
Yeah.
The speaking fees, the foundation,
yeah.
That stuff matters more to them than even the emails that the Republicans, I know, get exercised about.
Well, she made that turn last night. in her speech, and she tried to echo some of that outsider thing. And we're going to take on Wall Street, and you know there's going to be a. She started talking about taxes that you can't actually enforce, right?
It's just not credible.
Yeah, and it was interesting because she was talking about, you know, we're going to repatriation, which is something Trump is talking about, and you know this good corporate inversion where they're putting their money overseas, and you know we're going to all get it back. Trump's saying the same stuff she is. It's not possible if it goes overseas. That's why there's an ocean on either side of this country, right? You can't go get that over there. We're not
in charge of them.
We're not in charge of the British banking system or the French banking system or even the Canadian banking system as much as we probably should be. So you grew up in this state,
yep.
Right? And you've been in politics your adult life.
Long enough.
Was your family involved in politics?
They were not.
How many times do you think in your years of doing this you have been lied to by a politician? Would you say it's tens of millions?
Every other time?
Are we rounding up?
They talk to you.
Yeah, round up to the nearest million. Right. Because that's what, I mean, they're all trying out their material here. This is like going into the, you know, the small comedy clubs to work out your act before you go to the ones, right? Mm-hmm.
No, that's exactly what the Iowa caucuses are. And that's one thing that's been interesting about Trump, that because he hasn't been doing the traditional Iowa retail campaigning, you're still hearing kind of some of the same speeches he's been giving, you know, throughout the fall. So, you know, I've heard some initial reports over the last week that his events have, dare I say, been low energy. You know, that maybe the act has gotten a little stale.
I think it's catching up to him, too.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, it was really interesting. Saturday was the first time he did three events in a single day here. He would fly in, do an event, and fly home every night. He slept in New York almost in his own bed every night of
almost
this.
Almost every night.
And it wasn't, he was not as ubiquitous as would appear that he was, because just the cable networks would go to him when he showed up. These people were doing, Hillary, for God's sake, was doing four or five events a day.
Her voice was so hoarse, you know. She'd been speaking so much, you could tell. It was tiring.
Well, Matt, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Glad to have you here.
Have fun tonight in the, are you representing somebody tonight?
Nope. I'm staying unaffiliated all the way through. I'll vote quietly by myself. We'll just go from there.
Just write down TRUMP just on the pin, circle it.
ROE.
ROE. I would like to just get one vote in the Iowa caucus. If you could do that for me, Matt, that would really be great.
Can you do a little write-in thing? Can you?
I don't know. The last one, you know, we had an 8-vote margin, so maybe I'd not better be that cavalier with
that. Awesome.
Think about your vote.
I want a precinct. All right, Matt, thanks very much.
Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks.